Liza Long wrote a blog post this weekend entitled, "I Am Annam Lance's Mother." She's not. She told of living with a 13-year-old with mental illness. She writes, "I love him, but he terrifies me." And she describes a recent incident in which he lunged at her with a knife, and his 7- and 9-year-old siblings knew to run to the car and lock the doors. It is heartbreaking, but many families live with mental illness and worry, and others wonder if they are living with it. We thought we'd bring in Dr. Ken Duckworth, medical director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness and a board-certified child psychiatrist. Doctor, we want to stress, while there are anecdotes about Adam Lanza having problems, we don't know much for a fact. The point is, how do other parents know when their child needs help?
You know, the question of how do you know if your child has a psychiatric disorder is a compelling challenge. First, let's start with the challenges of being a teenager or young adult. This is a time of kind of exquisite developmental challenge in terms of changing bodies, changing identities, hormones, separation from parents, developing a peer group. At the same time, we know that mental illnesses are the chronic illnesses of the young, and that about half of all psychiatric illnesses present before age 15.
We understand, too, that they get exacerbated in teenhood because suddenly they're also propelled by hormones. But, you know, so what are the signs that you look for, especially if somebody's entering the teenage years? They're going to be sullen and withdrawn potentially anyway. So how do you know when a child needs help?
This is a great question, and I think the first thing to do is not to ignore your gut. If you're really worried about someone in your life, start to ask more questions. Things that professionals will look for are changes in social interest. So when there's a loss or withdrawal, that's a noteworthy sign. Aggression, violence, threats, of course, are problematic, you know, at a whole nother level.
Let me ask you something, because you said threats. On Friday, when this story was unfolding and we first were told the shooter's name was Ryan Lanza, we now know that's, of course, not true. That's the name of his brother. But we went online and we found a Twitter account for a Ryan Lanza. It was extremely disturbing. There, you know, led us to believe it was the shooter. It was using the F word quite a lot. It was saying things 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks before the shooting. It was saying things like, I don't even care if the world ends in 2 weeks. It talked about Thanksgiving being horrible. It was really disturbing. Now, again, that is not the Twitter account of the shooter. It's, I'm betting, not the account of the brother, because this person seemed too young. But if you see something that like that online, do you report it? Is that a red flag? And who do you report it to? What do you do?
Well, I think the first question has to be, you know, in the family system, you know, if your child, you know, is having a change in their behavior or pattern or school performance or interest in their peers, you know, talk to them. I think at the public health level, there's a whole model of care that we're not employing as a country, which is the Teen Screen model. Teen Screen is a program out of Columbia University which has been shown to be safe in randomized controlled trials. That is to say, it doesn't activate suicidal thinking. We spend a lot of time screening people for eyesight, general health in order for them to do sports. And we failed as a country to really take a public health interest in screening teenagers for depression, substance abuse, anxiety, the onset of bipolar disorder, psychosis. These are common problems, relatively speaking, in the teen years.
So it sounds great. There's a screener. Are there impediments to it? I mean, why don't more people know about it?
Well, I think it's interesting. People are ambivalent about having this information about their children. There are school districts where parents will say, I don't want my child screened. I don't want this to impact their college admissions.
Well, then as we heard, we're hearing anecdotally out of Newtown, and again, we nothing has been confirmed, but we're hearing that this young man did have some behavioral issues and that his mother expressed concerns to her friends, who said so on the Today Show this morning, that she was struggling with him. And we're reading these blogs of parents saying, you know, I am Nancy Lanza. I am that mother. I have this child. And people, I'm sure, are asking, well, how can that be? Why aren't they getting more help?
Most people who have children with vulnerabilities are not parenting a mass murderer. I mean, it's really important. It's difficult to predict extremely rare and catastrophic, heart-wrenching events. So, but that said, if you're anxious about your child, if they've been aggressive or threatening, finding help is a crucial aspect.
We're reading Newtown. Newtown shut down its mental health hospital in 1995. Again, this has to do with budgets. In 2013, the state of Alabama, the entire state, is going to close all its mental health hospitals except for one that serves the elderly and one that serves works with criminals. We're reading at least $4.35 billion has been cut from public mental health funding between 2009 and 2012.
In the recession, mental health service needs and substance abuse service needs increase. At the same time, we've taken 3,000 or 4,000 beds offline in the state public health service. And as you said, you know, multiple millions of dollars have been removed from the public health service system. I think we do this at our own peril. Identifying kids who are exposed to violence, who have access to weapons, who have a history of trauma. These phenomena, you know, do correlate into these risk categories, although I think it's really important to remember it's very difficult to predict extremely rare events.
Can you give us one concrete example? You know, we said teenagers might be talking about the end of the world or, you know, things on their Facebook page or Twitter. It used to be that if somebody mentioned wanting to end their life, that was the automatic reason to get them some help. Now it seems as if that, you know, the bar has been changed. So can you give me an example of something that a young child might say that should, it's probably going to be a body of things, but something that a parent should make a parent's ears really open up?
I think any statement about safety, any statement about suicidality or violence should prompt a response. Most people don't express these feelings, even teenagers who are having a hard time. They're talking about killing yourself, talking about harming third parties. You know, it puts you in a category of people who should benefit from an assessment. But the cutting of the infrastructure of the public mental health system is typically a one-way valve. When state beds are taken down, they typically don't return. When crisis beds are cut, they typically don't return. When Medicaid payments are cut, they often take a long time to resurface. You know, this is a fundamental public health problem.
We've heard from friends of Nancy Lanza, her several friends on the Today Show today, said that she said that her son had Asperger's. Could you just address that, because there are people in the Asperger's community, and we know Asperger's is going to be in the new diagnostic manual on the autism spectrum. There are people in the Asperger's community who are horrified by this connection of violence to Asperger's, which has to do with people not having, you know, the real social skills and being able to pick up social cues. But it hasn't been associated with violence. Could you just address that?
To my knowledge, Asperger's syndrome has not been associated with this sort of extreme violence.
In fact, some people are going online saying, well, wait a second, you know, people with mental health issues are more likely to be victims of violence.
People with mental health problems are much more likely to be victimized. And unfortunately, no one calls me to talk about that.
Dr. Ken Duckworth, Medical Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness and a board-certified child psychiatrist. Doctor, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for taking an interest in the mental health problems of America's youth.
Yeah. Well, here are the resources the doctor mentioned, the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill, the National Institute for Mental Health. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Later today, Newtown is home to the second most powerful gun lobby in America. The New York Times reports that a proposal to ban assault weapons there was turned down, but it was being championed by hunters in the town who said something has to be done. So where are we in the debate that is being launched right now? Also, just ahead, what can we learn from the town of Dunblane, Scotland? That's in a minute, here and now.